Blog Talk Radio.
No matter where I go, no matter what I do, Lord, one thing I know. Wake me up each morning, start me on my way. Keep me in my coming and going each and every day. Even when I falter, grace and mercy you extend to me. Without your loving kindness, Lord, where would I?
God be the glory. Welcome to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you live. And as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm looking forward to an exciting time on today as we're going to have a discussion that we started last week about love. So our topic today is Let's Talk About Love. It is a call-in discussion, and we're just going to move forward and just do what God has called us to do during this time. Do you know that we serve a mighty God? We serve a mighty God. God is a mighty God, and he is truly worthy to be praised. I want to go back and just rewind a little bit. The song that you just heard was Pastor Alicia Cooper, There Is None Like You. None Like You is the name of the song. And she released her CD, It's Time. So I want to encourage you to go over to CD Baby and get a copy of that CD. It's time. Amen. And you will truly, truly be blessed. You can download it on the MP3 or you can order the actual CD. So you want to get a copy. You want to get a copy of that. Amen. I'll play another one of her songs a little bit later on towards the end of the broadcast. But I'm excited on today. I want to go ahead and open in prayer, and then I'm going to make a few announcements, and we'll get right into the discussion. I want to encourage you to go ahead and start calling in. The call-in number is 646-652-4832. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. We thank you for today. This is the day that you have made and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your anointing that's given to us by the Holy Spirit, by the precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just ask that you will come into this time and have your way. Let your will be done. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we're looking for a mighty move from you, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace, God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this place together. And Lord, we just ask that you will have your way during this time that we are together. We come against any hindrances to the broadcast on today. We come against any spiritual attacks, oh God. And we just ask that you can continually have your way during this time that we are gathered together. I ask that you would bless Gazelle and our guests in the chat room. I ask that you would bless Rashida and I bless Erica Anderson, oh God. I ask that you would bless all who will call into this broadcast on today, God. I just ask that you would have your way. Let your will be done as we talk about love on today. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Well, God bless you, everyone. Good morning to some. Good afternoon to others. It's so good to be here on Blog Talk Radio. I had a little technical difficulty on today. I guess I am moving too fast because I cut myself off. I can't blame anybody but myself for that. I want to welcome you all to the broadcast and thank you for tuning in. I want to make a couple of announcements. Again, the opening song was Alicia C., and that's from her album, It's Time. That's from her CD, It's Time, which is available as CD Baby. I also want to thank Pastor Larry for allowing me to be his guest on Moments in the Word on Wednesday. We had a blessed time on Moments in the Word, and I just thank Pastor Larry for having me as his guest. If you missed it, I want to encourage you to go and listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/pastor-larry-sarton. And you will be blessed by the archives. We were talking about my new book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. If you have not read Don't Die in the Wilderness, I encourage you to get a copy. You can pick up a copy at my website at nccmonline.org. I encourage you to get your own personal copy. And it's not a book that you'll read one time. You will find yourself going back to read that book over and over again. I read a chapter this morning on spiritual warfare because last night I caught myself in spiritual warfare and I had to literally shake myself out of something. Amen. I had to fight my way out. Sometimes you get to a point in life where you have to fight your way out of what the devil has in mind for you and continue to press forward into the things that God has in mind for you. So I want to remind you that the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Amen. So be encouraged and do not grow weary in well-doing because in due season you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. Amen. I want to invite you to join me this afternoon. I'll be at Power Praise and Worship Ministries over in Linden, New Jersey. The address is 1420 Southwood Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. Power Praise and Worship Ministries. the Women's Empowerment Book Club is hosting a meeting, amen, where I will be making a guest appearance as their guest author, amen. They're reading Nobody's Business, the book, my first book, and then after this book, they will be reading The Cry of a Woman's Heart. The founder of that ministry is Diana Flagg, and we are just excited about what God is going to do on this afternoon. It's time to get real. It's time to take off the mask. It's time to really, really look in the mirror at who God has created us to be. Instead of pretending to be somebody or something else, it's time to really take a good look at ourselves. Amen. So, and we constantly do that. Do you know that you never arrive? You never get to the point where you can say, okay, this is me and this is all, that's all there is to it. You know, you're constantly being shaped and molded into the image of God. Amen. Amen. So we are live, and we're going to go into our discussion on today. That's it by way of announcement, except for the fact that on the next few weeks, I want you to look at my board, because on the next few weeks, we're going to have quite a few guests. Amen. I'm looking forward to having Prophetess LaLisa Williams come on, Prophetess Denise Clark, and also co-pastor Anita Spalding. All three of these women have written powerful books, and their books are going to minister. They're going to bring, I'm asking them to bring a word to minister to the hearts of my listeners. Amen. So get ready, get ready, get ready. We're getting ready to take off. Amen. We're going to take off. So I'm excited. Let's talk about love. Amen. Let's talk about love is our topic for today. And I want to remind you that you can always go back and listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/power. Amen. So let's talk about love. Before we get started, and I do see a hand raised already, so we're ready to really get into today's topic. We're ready to get into today's topic. So let's go. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to just start out with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. I'm going to start with verse 12, the last verse, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the last verse. And it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read it in its entirety, and then I'll be taking your calls. Amen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. The King James says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we are through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. Faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen and praise God. Love is the greatest of these. You know, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And before that, it tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and our strength. You know, when we read this love chapter, we call it the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we normally read it at weddings, and we're talking to a couple that's getting ready to be together for the rest of their lives. So we remind them of the greatest thing, the greatest gift, which is love. So often we get married and we get into our marriages and love is the last thing on our minds after a couple of months. You know, we're saying to each other or to ourselves, what's love got to do with it? You know, but if you can endure, if you can go through the first few months, first few years, actually, of marriage, and allow yourself to be broken, shaped, and molded during those times, then you can truly make it for the long haul. Depending upon also what your spouse is doing, women of God, what your husband is doing, if he is lining up with the word of God, then it will be easier. If he is not lining up with the word of God, then you're going to have to persevere in prayer and a whole bunch of other stuff while you're making it through those tough times. Amen. So, and then love can be equated to friendships, relationships, brothers and sisters in the church. Amen. Do we love each other as the body of Christ? So these are questions that I want you to think about. And I know that as our hands are raised, I see a couple of hands raised in the on the switchboard. I know that a lot of stuff is going to be opened up in this next hour and 41 minutes. So I'm due over at Power Praise and Worship at 4, so I'll be running out the door after I get off the broadcast. But I want to just come and share with you, and I want to hear your thoughts. So right now, right away, I'm going to the switchboard, amen, and I'm going to begin to take calls. I want to welcome all of our guests, amen, who are in the chat room. I encourage you to call in. We already have two callers in queue that want to talk. So if you want to wait until the second caller and call in, that's fine, or if you want to call in now and just get in queue, I would advise that you call in and get in queue so that you can be heard on today. Amen. I want to hear from you. So call in 646-652-4832. Okay, let's get this party started. I'm going to start with area code. Actually, I'm going to go to the middle digits of your phone number because we have people calling from the same area code. So 789, your hand is raised. You're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women. 789, you're on the air. Yes, that's you. Area code 789. Amen. I'm having problems hearing that person. I hear them moving around. Let's take another caller. 789. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so a caller just dropped off. I'm just going to 277, I'm going to put you in the air. I just want you to say hello. Hey, okay, let me look at 2862, area code 862. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hi, Rebecca. This is Christy. How are you?
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, sis. I'm doing great, sis. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good, good. Well, we're here, and we're talking about love on today. I'm glad that you're really the first caller to actually be on the air today because you're the one that started this whole thing.
Wow.
So let's go. Let's talk about love. We were talking last week about love, and we were talking about love not supposed to, is not supposed to hurt. And then we were talking about the fact that when God chastises us, it hurts. I mean, when he rebukes us, when he corrects us, that is not something easy to endure. So I just want you to just go ahead and speak what's on your mind pertaining to this particular topic.
Well, the topic had been had come from the Spirit a couple of weeks ago, and you know, when we pray and we ask God for things to show us ourselves and show us how to be more like Him, and you know, we pray those prayers, and most times when we get when we are in that point when we pray in those prayers, we are so earnest in those prayers, and then we forget about what we prayed, and God answers in His own time. And the whole idea of it is, listen, if and this is what I got in the Spirit, if you're going to be like me, you have to love, because I am love, and I don't care about too much of anything else besides love of other people, love for yourself, love for me. We get caught up in so many other different aspects of our lives, which are important, but as the love chapter states towards the end, says the greatest of these things is love. As I went through and I dissected that whole chapter, again, it was brought to my spirit that before I could even apply any of these points of power to anybody else, I have to first be able to love myself. Asking myself, am I identifying what love is and what it isn't? And it tells us right here exactly what love is according to God. In verse 4, when it begins to say love endures long and is patient and is kind, do I endure long with myself? Am I patient with myself? Am I kind to myself? You know, I can't possibly be kind to somebody else if I haven't been kind to myself. Although we do show aspects of kindness to other people, we sometimes put ourselves in situations or allow people into our lives and we are kind to them and we forget about being kind to ourselves. And, you know, all of the different, each characteristic of this verse in this chapter, you have to first apply it to yourself. How do you feel about yourself? You know, love is never envious or is jealous. Are you a jealous-hearted person? Are you an envious person? Are you boastful? Are you, you know, haughty? Love is not conceited. God is telling us everything that it is and what it's not. And so in order for us to be able to get to where He is we have to apply these things to us first. And we do. We get into relationship and not think of that. We think this chapter means, oh, okay, well, I'm going to marry this person. Yeah, I think I can endure a long time. Yeah, I could be patient with this person. Yeah, I could be kind to this person. I could do that. But what about you? Have you done these things with you yet? And if you haven't, there's no way for you to be able to effectively love another person. Because like you said, months down the road, we're asking, what's love got to do with it? Because we have no idea of what this really means. What does this really mean? God, the Bible also tells us that we love each other as we love ourselves.
Yes.
So if we're not loving ourselves, we're not truly effectively loving anyone else.
Wow, that is so good, because we often get to the point where we, like you said, we're applying the scripture and we're applying it outward. We're applying it towards others, but we're not really applying this word towards our own lives. And we get caught up in these relationships. A lot of us get caught up in bad relationships with the wrong people, with men who will take advantage of us or walk all over us or not treat us right. We get caught up into these relationships because we have not first loved ourselves. Low self-esteem stems from a lack of self-love. If I don't think much of myself, then I can't really love myself, you know, because I don't deem myself, I don't see myself as lovable. So then I allow myself to get in a loveless relationship with a man who can't love me like I deserve to be loved.
Right.
So Yeah, that was very powerful what you were saying.
Yeah, I think, and another thing, even with dealing with this, I was led to sit down and sit with myself and I begin to write out, okay, so what exactly does love mean to me? To me, what does it mean? Because, again, we get involved in these relationships thinking that we know or accepting what is being given to us and categorizing it as love because we don't know any better. Okay, so, yeah, this must be love because if this person wouldn't do this to me if he or she didn't love me. This is their example of what love is, and we never take it back to the Word of God. That's why it's very important, you know, in the Word, too, to raise a child, to keep a child in the Word and so that they grow up and understand the world for themselves so we don't get, you know, your kids don't get bamboozled when they get old and wait till you get 40 years old and just now getting back to this, like, oh, my goodness, I spent all that time being mistreating myself, and here it is. God had it for me right here. This is what it is I'm supposed to be looking for and my expectations should be. So, you know, and that's a exercise that I have begun sharing with my other friends. Listen, sit down, write this thing out. What exactly does love mean to you? And weigh it out and compare it with the Word of God says. Where are you in terms of what the Word of God says? Does loving yourself mean you got to go get your hair done every 2 weeks and get your nails done and buy yourself nice things all the time and making yourself feel good from a fleshly perspective? But in the scheme of things, all honesty, what does love mean to you?
Go ahead, Chrissy.
No, I was going to.
Yeah, you were just going to say something about God opening up some things.
Right. Some different areas, some different, even a change of thought. My thought pattern had even changed.
Thinking
the way I usually would think about this situation. One of the things that I did identify, the first thing is trusting God with every aspect of my life. If I love myself, that means I trust God with every aspect of my life, with my family, my career, my finances, my health, even recreation, personal endeavors, your friendship, the community around you, you know, your household and spirituality. You trust God with all of those things. That's how I begin to love me, by trusting him first.
Yes.
Because I know that he has my best interests at heart. He's not going to do anything wrong to me. If I'm loving him and loving myself, it's just like having your earthly father. When, you know, as a little girl, you love your father, and when you do things that are pleasing to your father, and your father sees the good and, you know, all the positive, you can get anything from your daddy that you want.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that reminds me, of, you know, the fact that when we can really take the Word of God and what it says about love and put it into real life, then we can really start having some victory. And that's what you've done. It looks like you processed this thing and just went and really thought about it and sat and meditated in the Word to see, you know, what does love really mean to me? Am I loving myself first and foremost? Because if you love yourself, and you were talking about getting your hair done and getting your nails done, if you love yourself, you will treat yourself well. You will want to spoil yourself or pamper yourself a little bit. You will eat right. You will eat right. You will not put all kinds of toxins and all kinds of junk in your body. You will not allow yourself to just lay down and have sex with all kinds of men who are not your husband.
Right.
You will not abuse yourself with alcohol and drugs. If you love yourself, that love is a powerful thing.
It is.
And that loving of yourself is a powerful thing. Where we sometimes take the scripture which says, consider others above yourself, and we take that scripture out of context, and we treat ourselves badly while we extend, like you said earlier, we extend kindnesses to other people when we're allowing ourselves to be, you know, run down and raggedy.
Right.
And we're not taking care of ourselves, but then we're trying to lavish all of this love and affection on someone else. And we are outside of the will of God at this point because we are not really staying true to the scripture. And I think we're not staying true to the scripture that tells us to love others as we love ourselves or to think of others more highly if we think of ourselves.
Right.
What the Bible is saying there is you still have to have a certain ratio of love and respect for yourself before you can even begin to think of somebody more highly than you think of yourself. You know, God is not saying to think of yourself as a dish rag or somebody's doormat for somebody to walk all over you or somebody's punching bag for somebody to be punching and kicking and spitting on you or calling you all kinds of names. Outside of your name that your mother and your father gave you. So, yeah, it goes deep, Chrissy, when you think about it. It really, you got to think about this thing. Why am I allowing myself to constantly be in the same, in bad relationship for the single woman? Why do I keep choosing the wrong men? Why can't I be happy in my marriage for the married woman?
Right.
And then you said something that really struck a chord. So often we're looking at him as the problem, but maybe it's us. Maybe I'm the one with the issues. Maybe you're the one with the issues, a woman of God. But you're looking at the man and you're saying him. And God is trying to get you to take a look at you.
Right. Take a look at you. Why are you... If the relationship that you are in is so bad and so abusive, you know, and not abusive from a physical standpoint, because we do understand that there are many, many forms of abuse. If you are in a relationship that is not a godly kind of relationship, why are you there? What is it that you're seeking to get out of it? Because we're still, and I understand sometimes most women, we are so desperate to hope for the best and hope for things to change. But in the middle of our hoping and wishing that things would change, again, we find ourselves leaning to our own understanding and doing everything to please someone else, to be on somebody else's better side versus taking a step outside and looking at this thing and say, wait a minute, because my father wouldn't allow me. My father does not want me in this type of environment. How can I effectively please God and have faith in God if my daily walk is filled with so much drama that at the end of the day when you rest your head to pray, you know, the focus is off of you and God, but it's about the mess.
Yeah,
you're no longer having a personal communing with him properly because it's just a mess. Everything becomes a cry out for help.
Yes, yes, and could that be because we sometimes get the our priorities messed up? You know, sometimes we that whole equation. That's an equation that God gave us. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's an equation. Love yourself.
But you read it
from left to right. I mean, from right to left.
Mm-hmm.
Love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
From left to right. Love God.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor. Love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, so it's love God,
mm-hmm.
love yourself. It's almost like algebra, right? You really have
mm-hmm.
to look at this thing.
You
got to
look at
so
it.
So it's like love God, love yourself, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ha, that's it. That's the answer. Love God, love
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's an equation. It's not supposed to see. A lot of us are reading it from left to right, and we're reading it, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. And
mm-hmm.
that's not a correct answer. That's only partially correct because you
mm-hmm.
love God, you love yourself, And then only will you be able to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then you can't even love yourself until you love God, until you know how much God loves you. And you see yourself from God's eyes when you know that God created you, my God, in his image. When you know that you're worthy of respect. When you know that you're worthy of honor. When you know that you're not to be treated badly, when you realize that God created you in his image, that you're wonderfully and fearfully made, then your the image that you have of yourself goes up. You know, your self-esteem goes up, and now you're able to enter into a relationship. I say for the single woman, it's almost impossible to enter into a good relationship if you don't have a love of God love of yourself.
That's true. And for those of us that are married, had we started out loving ourselves and loving God first, a lot of the things that go on. See, people treat you the way that you, one, allow them to treat you, and two, the way that they see you treat yourself.
Mm.
I'm not sticking up for you if you don't even stick up for yourself.
Mm.
How do you expect me to be, you know, kind to you if you're not even kind to yourself? So we allow people to treat us any kind of way because they see us treating our own selves any kind of way. Okay, so I see you. Okay, so you're going to sit here and you want to eat, you know, 6 pieces of chicken. All right, well, that lets me know, you know. That lets me know, okay, you like to eat. So I'm not thinking about you and your health. You know what I mean? Okay, let's count to my horn. Like when I should be thinking, and I'm thinking of that in terms of like even when you with your best girlfriend, you know we know we all and I can't talk myself because I know I'm you know overweight. We look at each other and we get together and we have this full fest, right? Knowing very well that we're harming each other. We're harming each other, and that's not and that doesn't come across. Also, because we don't feel too much mad about, I want my 3 pieces. You feel me? So why we're not, oh, yeah, girl, pile it on. But at the end of the day, you go to the doctor and they tell you, okay, you know, you're obese, you're trying to figure out what happened and why, and then how come nobody told me? It's being kind to ourselves with, like you said, putting healthy things in our bodies. That way we can look at our sisters and say, look, sis, you know, this is what I learned. I learned that, you know, we shouldn't have so much, you know, we shouldn't always have cake, you know, for the fellowship. We shouldn't always have just cake and juice. We should add fruit. You know, we should add nuts and grains, you know, make it a more healthy setting. That way you have the option to choose, and that way the good things are there, and you start to train yourself to have those things. But this is a lot of things that were, I'm reiterating from our family Bible study last night where we talked about love. I mean, wow. I can't even begin to tell you how deep the whole situation, the whole idea of what it means to love yourself. It's extremely deep.
Wow.
Because it's important you to take a look in the mirror.
My God. Well, you certainly have gotten us started off really well on this topic of love, you know, loving yourself first.
Right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And we have to. We have to love ourselves. I tell you, that's a big part of it. Even as I've written my book, you know, and I think about nobody's business, but I think about my own life and how I spent so many years not loving myself. You know, I spent so many years putting other people before me. And even as a Christian, you know, it took a while. It wasn't something that happened immediately where I realized, hey, God loves me. You know, hey, I'm this wonderful creature that he created. You know, hey, I'm somebody. It took me a while to process the fact that there was more in life for me than what I was living, you know. And I spent 7 years saved. 7 years as a Christian, not really having a full understanding of what God's love was and what loving myself meant. And then one day it sunk in. You know, one day, that's why we have to stay under the word, because faith, you know, we'll be able to believe this stuff by continually hearing it. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if we continually hear what God thinks about us and the plans that God has for us and how much God loves us, I mean, the fact that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we would have life, Zoe, which is a life more abundantly above and beyond what we could think or ask or imagine, so that we can have a blessed life. You know, think, Jesus dies, Chrissy, and all of those who are listening, and I just encourage you to go ahead and call in so we can put some more of you on the air. The number is 646-652-4832, and I'm going to take a couple of calls. See you on the board. But just think, Jesus died so that we would have life and life more abundantly. So he's saying, so we would have Zoe, which is the blessed life, the abundant life, and that more abundantly, not just an ordinary life, not just getting by. I shouldn't be overweight. You talked about being overweight. I was overweight. I'm overweight, too, but I was obese. I mean, I had gotten to the point where, I mean, my God, it took me seeing myself on an interview, on an internet TV interview, to say, hey, wait a minute, hold up, is that me? You know, because, you know, the mirror can lie to you, you know, and I wasn't looking at the scale, but I had gotten to the point where I was just really, really getting up there with my weight. And I said, you know, this is not taking care of myself. This is not prospering and being in good health, even as my soul prospers. This is not applying the word of God to my life. Yeah, you know, I was preaching this thing, and I had a down pat, you know, as far as being able to minister. But we, how many of you know, we have to practice what we preach.
That's true.
You know, we got to walk this thing out. And, you know, I'll be darned if I'm going to go out sick with diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol, you know, all these medicines on my bottles of medicine on my nightstand. No. You know, we have to, and that's why love is just such a powerful, it's one word, but it's so powerful.
It is. It's a very key, I think to me, in my opinion, it's the most important factor in life. Because the Bible says love conquers all. At the end of the day, love conquers all. But I was thinking when you were just saying how it took so long, the years that it took for you to understand that you were not loving yourself, but the blessing in that is that you came to that understanding. That was revealed to you while you were in the word. Because had you not been in the word, how different would that outcome have been when you realize that you weren't loving yourself? When we understand that, like, we have a lot of young girls, a lot of young men who come to that realization that I don't love myself at a young age, and they're not in the word, their behaviors and the things that they begin to do to themselves and allow things to be done to them are tragic.
Yes.
So God is blessing us in this manner that, okay, so now you know me. You know me, you know what I'm about, you know what I expect, and so forth and so on. So now here's this revelation. And because you're in the world and you're abiding in me, because you're doing that with me by your side and me at the forefront of it, you can better be able to handle this thing.
Yeah.
I remember some years when I came to, you know, we all know, even as a child, you know when you're not, you know when the love is missing, you know when you're being neglected, you know when things are not right. You know, God built us that way, have those alarms. We know when it's not right. So then it's the action that we take after we come to that understanding. But now that I'm in him, let's say, now that I'm in Christ, I won't take this revelation and begin to continue abusing myself. But I'll take it and I'll begin to turn around and do the things that he would have me to do. Like you said, you had that revelation when you saw yourself and said, no, this is not it. Whereas some other person sees himself and gets so down on themselves and continue
to overeat, and, you know, it gets worse because they don't really know understand how to make that change.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we have to eat right and exercise. And, you know, the devil would have us sit on the couch and continually munch out. You know, when God would say, no, you will prosper and be in good health, and with long life will I satisfy you. You know, in other words, I'm living a long life, and I'm not going out of here sick, you know. So we have to think about the fact that we are healed, we're whole, we're prosperous. Prosperity is not about the money that we have in our pocket. It's about the life we're living. Are you living the blessed life? You know, and when we get that, you know, there's a place in him that he really wants us to get. And I tell you, I'm striving with everything in me, just pressing towards that mark, just really, really striving to abide. Because I find myself coming in and out. And there was a time when I was more out than in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, what I want to do, this is my aspiration, is to abide in his presence. I just want to stay there continually so that, like you said, nothing touches you. And when it does get in, it doesn't impact you like it would if you were not abiding in the word or in prayer or even going to church. You know, people don't realize the fellowship of the saints, how important it is just to be in fellowship with other saints, just to be worshiping God, praising God. There's a breakthrough that comes through praise, you know, when you praise the Lord. I would say make it a habit to praise God anywhere and everywhere, you know, praise him before you begin to, in your prayer time, before you begin to ask him anything, just go ahead and praise God.
Right.
And a lot of people might say, well, what does all of that, you know, church and fellowship and praise and worship and prayer, what and eating right, what does all of that have to do with love? And what we have to realize is that God is love, you know.
Yeah.
God is love, you know. And God displays love to us when he gives us his word. He told us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And God was saying, as he said in Romans 8:28, that no matter what you go through in life, you got to know that in the middle of all of that stuff, in the middle of all things, I am there working things out for your good.
Yes.
You know, because there is an expected end, and the expected end is good. He has so many great thoughts for us, so many. He has a promise. He has his word on it. When he has put his word on our lives and he has shed his blood, the blood of Jesus was shed for us to guarantee us the life that God ordained for us to have. And so it all goes back to, if you don't have a foundation, if you don't have an understanding, I love the fact that you're doing a family Bible study and that you guys even went as far as to do a Bible study on love. If you don't get back to God's word and his original plan, then you will lose sight because of all of the stuff that's going to happen in your life. You will lose sight of the fact that, A, God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you would not perish in the issues of life, that you would not perish in the trials and tribulations of life, that you would not perish at the end of life and end up in hell, but that you would have life, Zoe, again, that blessed life forever, eternally. You know, starting now, eternally starts from the day you receive Jesus Christ until the day you meet him face to face. So when we get that, you know, the fact that it all stems from what? Love. God loved us so much that he said, you know what, I can't leave them like that. I can't. He loved me so much, he said, I can't leave her out there getting drunk and sleeping with all the wrong men and acting crazy and killing herself quickly. I can't leave her like that. I can't leave her like that. And I just thank God. I thank God that he decided not to leave me like that.
Amen. Amen. And how great life is going to be, would be, and is going to be when you love yourself so much that the issues that we allow to affect our lives now will no longer bother us, because we have so much in love and in his presence because he loves us and we love ourselves, we have no other choice but to love each other.
Yes.
You have no other choice.
Yes.
It spills over. It spills over. So me being jealous would not even be an issue. It wouldn't even be a factor. I wouldn't look at another person's possessions, so to speak, and say, oh, wow, look at what she has. I wish I had it. But that love for yourself would say, oh, that is beautiful, and praise and be happy for that person, that person has some of the things that they have. That's the kind of love God wants us to get to, loving ourselves so that the other issues or the worldly issues don't affect us. And we can be effective and do better work in ministry because we're not being held down by the issues of the world.
Yes. My God. Or so-called love, right? Somebody saying they love you but treating you like they don't love you. And then you letting that whole thing get the best of you, and you can't even be happy because you're so miserable because of what's going on with the people in your life that you love. You know, we got to get to a point that we put our trust, like you said earlier, that we put our trust in God and God alone, because God tells us that he would not let us go through any more. He would not let us go through any more than we can handle. God's not going to let you suffer any more than you can handle it. So if you're going through something right now and you feel like you're suffering, it's because God knows you can handle it, and he allows it for you to come closer to him. You know, the pressure will push you closer to God. You know, when things get to a point where they're so bad, you know, you would get to the point where, you know what, I need to go and get closer to God because I've heard that he is a way maker out of no way. I've heard that he can give me peace in the middle of the storm. I've heard that God will, there's a place that I can get in God where all of this stuff, these fiery darts will come against me, but not one of them will be able to penetrate. Not one of them will be able to injure me, because I've heard that with God, no weapon formed against me can prosper. I've heard that there's a place in him, a secret place, the shadow of the Most High, that I can go where nothing can come near me to harm me. So, you know, this thing pushes us closer. I want to say that sometimes trouble pushes you closer to your destiny. Not sometimes, all of the time. Even if you rebel against it, sometimes you could be having trouble in your life and you might decide to pick up something that you used to do, maybe drugs, alcohol, maybe being with the wrong people in life, maybe a man or woman, for the men who are listening or for the women who are listening who think that the alternative lifestyle is the lifestyle that God has for you. And I'm going to say, no, it's not, because according to his word, that's not what he has for you. He created man for woman and woman for man. But, you know, keep listening. Keep listening. That was not a condemnation. Keep listening. What I'm saying to you is you get to the point in life where that person could be acting like a stone-cold fool, and you will still have peace and you will still have joy. You get to the point where this joy that you have on the inside of you, that man or woman or fool or nobody can take it away. And you get to the point where you put your trust in God and not in man, and you and also where you're, because when you're looking at man, when you're looking at woman, when you're looking at people who are mistreating you and you're allowing them to make you miserable, you're not honoring God, because now you are idolizing that person in that situation.
Right.
And
right.
God is no longer on the throne in your life. I think you alluded to that earlier, Chrissy, where God is no longer on the throne, but now you have all this other stuff ahead of God, and you can't even think about God.
Right. And it becomes a situation where we get, the devil allows us to think that it's God causing the issue. He's allowing, he's causing it. This is why. And this is why you're going through, because this is what God does. And this is how, no, that's not. God does give you freedom of choice. He loves you so much, he allows you to choose. Although he says, Lord, I'll be with you always, even into the end, he gives you the freedom to choose. So when you go out and you're, again, not abiding in him and not in his presence, and we make some improper decisions for ourselves, guess what? You definitely got to deal with the outcome of it. But the devil wants to think that, oh, this is what God would have you to do. So you begin to start to turn away from him. Well, God, this is not what, you know, how it should be. Everything should be happy. Everything should be, you know, perfect and right. Well, no, you chose to and engage in that relationship. You chose to, you know, fill your body with all these impurities. You chose to do these things. So, you know, and loving yourself again will have you take a look at that and say, no, I love me more than that. I love me more than to wake up with a hangover.
Yes.
I love me more than to wake up in somebody's bed who I don't even know. I love me more than that. And I expect you to love me just as much as I love myself. And if not, then I just got to keep it moving.
Yes. Amen. And that will stop a lot of trouble in marriages because, you know, truth be told, we end up with the wrong person in relationship. And because we got somebody, we just go ahead and go forward and marry that person. And God has not told us to marry that person because that person never treated us right in the first place. Because we didn't treat ourselves right. I want to take another call. I don't know if this person is still with us. I see a hand raised. I tried to put you on the air earlier. 973-789, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hello.
God bless you.
Yes.
Yes.
I listen to the program. I like what I hear about love. And it's love is, like I say, love, you have to learn, you have to love yourself first, not to love anyone, you know?
Yes.
And I like me myself, I have someone in my life that I care about deeply, you know? I mean, my heart is for my friend, you know? But, through all my passing days, you know, I've been through a lot myself, you know? But she's been wonderful to me, you know, in so many different ways, you know what I mean? But for me, I think that love is something like a wish that's in my heart, you know, sending, you know, to my lady friend is that, you know, she have the best in life, you know, and have happiness unending. You know, that's what I want, you know, for my lady friend, you know. But I understand that what Christy was talking about, but you got so many types of love. You know, you have love for sports, you got love for different things. You know, first you have to learn what love is truly about. What type of love are you looking for, you know? It started out as one thing, but then it winds up as love for marriage, you know. But you know how love is with marriage. Love and marriage is that's hard. I've been married twice, but it didn't work out. And I'm trying to try it again with that certain person. You know, but I feel good about what I'm doing now. You know, thank God that I have the strength, you know, to get on. Because I wasn't going to pick up the phone at first, you know. But then I thought about it and I said, no, let me ask. I heard you at first, you know, but I didn't know what to say. So I got enough nerves to pick up the phone and say something. You know, Becky. This is Ali.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you did speak, brother. I'm glad you did speak. And I know Christy has something to say, too, but I commend you. I commend you for being a man and listening to, you know, this broadcast about love, woman to woman. We have different topics on different weeks, but being a man, and like you said, wanting your lady friend to have the best of everything. And I also commend you for taking that next step and getting married. Like you said, you've been married twice, and you're looking, you know, you would want to be married again. And that is not something that you hear coming out of a lot of men's mouths, especially if it didn't work out the first two times. So I just commend you for that. And it just sounds like you have the right idea, you know. So what do you think? Do you think at any time, I'm going to let Christy talk to you also, but do you think at any time it's okay for a man to be abusive towards a woman in any way?
Not at all. Not at all. Whatsoever. Because if you don't love someone when you abuse them, you know, love don't hurt. That's at all, you know. And if you can't get along, you know, you just leave her alone. You know what I mean? Go your way, you know. Just go her way. You know, go your way, she go her way. That's all. You know, but when you dive into something and you don't know what it's about, then you're going to get burned sooner or later, you know. I mean, you can love someone and they don't love you, but when you see that the person don't love you, you know when somebody loves you, believe me. You know, you can say all what you want to say, but you know real love. You know real love. Everybody knows real love. You can't make somebody love you, but you can make somebody hurt you.
Wow. You can make somebody hurt you. You want to just talk on that for a minute?
Yes, because you know, because you'd be trying to deal, you'd be trying to deal with them, you know, you'd be trying to please them, you know, and sometimes when you had a men are very abusive, you know, especially with women, you know, and most men, you know, they have more than, they want more than one, you know what I mean? And then, you know, like, when you're out here in the streets and you're a man and you meet one woman and you got a woman at home, you know, that takes away from the home, you know. So you meet her, you start staying out, and then your relationship at home, it starts to turn sour, you know, and then things start to disappear. You know, you leave out something. And then that party that you have at home, she notices it. But see, but you know, you be so wrapped into that other party that's out in the street, to you, like, you don't forget, but you just don't care anymore about that because it's something new. New is always different from something old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically how I feel about it.
And so that person that doesn't love themselves, doesn't love herself, and she's with a man who is out there cheating on her, and she's still continually trying to make it work, then she's allowing herself to be hurt even more so by being in that relationship.
Sure, mm-hmm. Once he's doing it, you know, he see that you ain't gonna do nothing about it, he's gonna continue to do it. And that's when the abuse starts coming in, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you want to go out, and you don't want him to go out because you already know what's happening, you know what I mean? But so you know what's happening, you let it continue to happen. And sooner or later, it's going to explode. You're going to explode. You're going to make him abuse you, and that's what I mean by abuse. You're going to make him abuse you.
Right, and I understand what you're saying. A lot of women will, you know, not quite understand, so I'm just going to just say what the brother is saying is, it can only elevate. It can only go escalate. You know, you can't make somebody love you. And if he's out there messing around and then coming home and you're angry and you're going off on him and you're pushing up on him, he might eventually, you know, strike out and hit you or abuse you, as the brother is saying. And we know that abuse is never justified, you know, that. And the women of God, I know what you're saying, brother, because I have been in relationships where I wanted to make the man fight me because I thought that was love. And that was because I had seen my parents fight. You know, my parents fought when I was a little girl. But I realized now that's not love. Love is not somebody going up against your head. And you said it earlier, if it's not working out, just walk away. You know, just leave. Let him go. Look, he is not your last chance. She is not your last chance. If somebody wants to fight, the best thing to do is to say, you know what, this is the wrong relationship for me. You know, and for the women of God, I want to just talk to the women of God out there, the women out there, whether you're saved or not, whether you go to church or not. I just want to say to you out there, there is no man in this world worth you allowing somebody or you getting to the point where you feel like you have to continually go after somebody aggressively
mm-hmm.
for them to put their hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, once he puts his hands on you, Like the brother said, if he knows he can get away with it, he's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again, and you're going to end up abused in an abusive relationship. So the thing to do is, if you know that relationship is not right, the thing to do is to go ahead and get out of that relationship. If you're married, I'm not telling you to divorce your husband, but what I'm telling you to do is get out and get into a safe place until he gets himself some help. And a lot of preachers won't say this, but I'm saying it. You know, no man, no woman should have to be in a relationship where they're being beat up. And I'm talking about men, too, because some men out there are being beat up. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to be in that kind of relationship. If you have to fight, it's not worth it. If you got to be the other woman or the other man, it's not worth it. You know, because there's AIDS out there. There's stuff that's killing people out there, you know, and it's not worth putting your life on the line to be with somebody who's constantly going to be out there, you know, being with other women or going to come home and beat you up. So I thank you so much. Chrissy, I'm going to let you in, and then I'm going to mm-hmm. I'll take another call. Go ahead, Chrissy.
What I would say is, at the end of the day, we have to resort back to what the Word of God says. In every aspect that the brother spoke about, and I commend you also for calling in and speaking your opinion and having a say, because it's important that we hear men how you feel about love and what your understanding is love too as well. But again, back to the Word of God. The Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 5, in that particular verse, it says love is not resentful. It's not. And resentful meaning the feeling of displeasure or indignation of some act, some remark, and acting in regard or of causing injury or insult. Love does not do that.
Right.
And so we have to get back to the Word of God, and even to the point where, although I've heard many, many of these words before in terms of what love is and what it isn't, I had to go back to the dictionary and look that up. Do I really know what the word endures means? Do I know what resentful means? It sounds familiar, but how do I put it in myself that I don't allow it to happen to me? Is I have to have a true understanding of what the Word of God says. And, brother, I will tell you, if you love yourself the way that God says you ought to love yourself according to the love chapter, and you display that, those mannerisms, your lady friend will see that, and she'll be drawn even closer to you, and she'll be wondering, well, what is that you have? And then that way, because whether you guys know it or not, you have a lot of influence over us, and in that sense, you'll be able to begin to teach her and show her, yeah, well, this is how you're supposed to love yourself, too.
Right.
And that marriage will definitely work, because you'll be living according to the Word of God. And you'll be in return reciprocating the godly love amongst you. And you'll forget all about the past two relationships that didn't work.
Right.
Because now you're in a new place. Now I'm in God. Now I'm doing this thing. I tried to wing it before. I tried to wing it two times before, and it didn't quite work. So now I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do this thing the way God says do it. And I guarantee you, because he said his word will not return to him void, I guarantee you that will be an everlasting marriage.
And this is why I'm trying.
Everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody, you two have to be on the same page. Y'all got to delve into this love chapter and get it before you even set a date for marriage. Get this in you.
Right. That's right.
And don't be afraid to walk away if it's not turning out like that. Because guess what? What do? You turn around and then you'll be saying, man, it was the third time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't do it a third time. It's going to be a third time. Man, yeah, I was married three times. No, get it right. Get it right. We got to stop winging it and take it back to the instruction book.
That's right. Yeah, and both of those times was without help. You know, but I have God with me this time, though. You know, so
amen.
I know it worked this time. I know it will.
Amen.
Amen. And that's it. Continue to grow in the Lord. We were talking earlier about the equation. I was saying that that particular verse where God talks to this verse, in a couple of verses in the Bible, where Jesus tells the disciples wanted to know what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus always told them, he always brought it back to love. And
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, the greatest commandment of all is love, to love the Lord your God with
mm-hmm.
all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the equation that we were talking about, where you love God first and foremost. And loving God is being, you know, you have to be in relationship with God, not just saying, okay, I love the Lord loves me, but, you know, just to find yourself growing in relationship
mm-hmm.
with God and let God show you really how much he wants to bless you and how powerful he is, and just show a appreciation and a gratitude for God. And then love yourself and
uh-huh.
love your neighbor, love that woman as you love yourself. And that's what the Bible tells the husband to do, to love and cherish, to cherish his wife,
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
cherish his wife. So I'm not even going to go into asking you, you know, about the previous relationships and marriages. But like you said, this time you have God. This time you have God. And I just encourage you to just draw nearer to the things of God, to pray, to praise the Lord. Find yourself in the assembly of the saints. That's, you know, the church, the congregation, praising the Lord. Continue to meditate on the Word of God. You know, you have your own personal Bible. Read the Bible, study the Bible, and let the Lord direct your steps. And I believe that the Lord will show you. He'll continually show you. And like you said, you believe this woman is the right woman, then again, be on. Let her be on one accord. She too needs to have a relationship with God, you know, to be drawn near. Take her with you. You know, don't leave her behind. You know, let her draw closer to the Lord. The man of the house is the priest. The husband is called to be the priest. Amen. Protector and provider. Amen. Mm-hmm. So these are things that we encourage as we minister to couples, that they go through counseling, that you go through premarital counseling. So all of these things. And love is just such a wonderful thing. And I just thank God for calling in and being with us. Amen and praise God. This is Pastor Rebecca, and you're listening to Woman to Woman. I thank all of you for being with us on today. I thank all of my listeners who are with us on today. The brother who called in, I believe it's his first time. I haven't heard him I haven't heard from you before, so I thank you for even calling in for the first time. And I encourage you to continue to seek the Lord. Like you said, you have God this time. And God will never fail you. Like Chrissy said, God will never fail you. I see Pastor Larry Fulton, and I see Pastor Amica, Prophet Amica in the chat room. And I invite you men to call in. This is Women to Women, a show for women and men too. I don't know if all of you know that, but I want to invite you to call in. Gazelle, I see you in the chat room. I invite you to call in and share with us on this topic of love. We only have a few minutes left. We only have about 47 minutes left. And I need you guys to just call in because, again, I have a book club at 4 o'clock, so I'll be running out at 4 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, I'll be running out to go over to Linden, New Jersey, to meet with a group of women who are reading my book, Nobody's Business. So I want to encourage you all to call in now because I can't stand. I only have 46 minutes. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, I see another caller. Brother, you can stay with us. What is your name, brother?
Oliver Williams.
I'm sorry?
Oliver Williams.
Oliver Williams?
Boyfriend.
My sister's. Oh. Oliver, okay, God bless you. Okay, I thought I recognized your voice. This is Rashida's boyfriend. This is Rashida's boyfriend.
Yes, right.
Amen. Does she know you're calling in today?
She gave me the number a couple of days ago, and she gave me the number earlier, and I was trying to get in touch with you, but I couldn't get it, and she called me back and gave me the right number. I don't know. She might be. You know, she's home.
Yeah, she's listening. She's listening. You would say you love Rashida.
Yes, I do. Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes, totally. Totally. You know.
Amen.
Unending. Believe me, I do. You know. She's a beautiful person.
Amen.
Beautiful woman. You know. And she does a lot for me. You know, she did a lot for me. You know, and she deserves happiness too. You know, she deserves happiness regardless of what. You know, she deserves a lot of happiness because she does a lot for a lot. You know, for a lot of people. You know, she does a lot. You know, and you know what I'm talking about. She does a lot. You know, she deserves it. You know, and if I can be the one to give it to her, I hope I am. You know, and I'm going to give her all the love that she deserves. You know, and that's what I hope for.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I have met you, Chrissy. I've met this brother, and I, you know, have had an opportunity to talk with him. He's a new believer. Amen. Okay. And I just again say, continue to press towards the things of God because that's the way you're going to have total victory. And you've read my book, Don't Die in the Wilderness.
I have the book right here on my bed. Don't Die in the Wilderness. I got it right here on my bed.
Amen. Are you being blessed by it?
Yes, I am.
Yes, amen. I am. He was here for Christmas, and he read almost half of the book while he was here. So I just thank God that I'm able to meet you. I certainly feel like you're a good guy. I don't know much about you. I've only met you that once, but my sister does seem to be happy.
Right. Thank you.
And she did tell me you wanted to get married.
She did? Okay. Yeah.
She did tell me about that. So, you know, as you both continue to grow in the Lord, I believe the Lord will bless your relationship.
Right. We'll be in the church tomorrow.
Okay, we'll see you in service tomorrow. Are you coming to the early service or are you coming to the second service?
I think we're going to come to the second one. I think you won't be preaching this week or next week, right?
Yes, my husband's going to be preaching tomorrow. You'll be blessed.
Okay. Well, I know we come
okay.
I think it's the early one, I believe.
The early
one? I speak about a few minutes anyway. I think she said the early one.
Okay, but whichever one you come to, I'll be looking for you, and I'll be happy to see both of you come through the door.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Look at God. God is good. Little Chris, this was a good topic for us today. We have another caller. I don't know if this caller wants to be on the air in this last 42 minutes. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca. It's
God
Mother
bless you, Mother.
How you
God
doing?
God bless you, Mother Bailey.
Well,
I'm
anyway,
doing really well.
I was online listening because that gives me a chance to be hand-free while I listen to the conversation, and I've been thoroughly blessed by everything that I've heard, the discussions, and the call of the brother and by your comments. And I actually have my Bible in my hand, and I was just looking at Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you know, looking at it, and that first verse, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And I was thinking about what the brother had said, and not to go back and to bring back to his memory the old relationships, but when you have love, when you do not have love, and when we say have love, we mean we have the Lord, we have Jesus, we have him within us. Because God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have God in us, we have love. And
yeah.
If without that, we all that we do, we're doing it. He's not, love is not doing it. Even in our relationships, we don't have love. So we're just like there's a temple. Well, I used to collect bells, old brass bells, and each one of them had this little thing in it that made nice sounds. But one time one of my children took the little thing out of the sound of it. It was like little round things that make the bell sound so nice, right? And they took it out of the bell. And when they took it out of the bell, I don't care how much you rung it, no sound came.
Mm.
Because they wanted to know what was making the sound, so of course they took it apart. And we are much like that. When we don't have God in us, even though we're speaking the words of love, they
mm-hmm.
have no real depth. They have no meaning. They can't penetrate because we're just making sounds, but there's no depth to our sounds.
Mm.
But when we are like that bell that has that piece in the middle that makes that beautiful sound, and that is God. God is in us. And then when we speak
yeah.
with
Ooh.
Love, that love penetrates. It
mm.
means something. Our words are not empty words. I can tell somebody 10 times a day I love you, but if I don't have love in me, they're just words. We know that
yeah.
love is an action word. When we have the love of God in us, those things that the 13th chapter talks about, we exemplify. If one of the things, I used to couldn't understand what it meant when it said love covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of the specific verse. And I remember something I saw, not just in my own life, but in particular, someone who I loved very much, and she's gone on to be with the Lord now, my oldest daughter. And I'll tell you, she loved someone very much. She truly loved him. And, oh, you know, it was just, we really knew him through her because of her love for her. And because of her love for her, she built him up. And we just saw him through her eyes, through the love that she had for him and how she saw him. But when she was no longer there, and that love was no longer covering him because she had the love of God within her, the real person came out. You understand?
Yeah.
And when that real person came out, he was nothing like the person that we saw through her eyes. We are the same way. God covers us. He loves us. And when we love other people, we are the same. When you, if you say you love her, this young lady, or this young lady loves you, you cover, you are her covering anyway. But she also covers you. And people will see you through her eyes because she's not going to go out and tear you down. She's going to build you up.
Right.
And you and the love of God will help you somehow you will become that person in her eyes through the love of God that's within her. And you also cover her. You will through your eyes, through the love of God, when you see her, you're covering her. And you're seeing this beautiful woman, this God-fearing this woman who does so many things for other people. And God prepares you for her. He helps you to build her up, to become and to cover her and to help her become the best that she can be. She, in turn, will try to do she will do the same thing. She will love you.
Thank you.
She will try to help you become the best that you can become through the eyes of God. Because it's all, like Pastor said, that love of God that is within you. Anyway, I just thank you, but I was just thinking about that because so many times we just use love as a word. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love those dresses. Oh, I love. And you're right. There are different kinds of love. And I know Pastor probably taught on this before, but you know, there's that filial love, that friendship love.
Right.
And then there's that eros love, man
eros
and woman love. And then you that agape love. And that's the one we want to strive to have, that agape love for each other. Therefore, we have love without any, we don't love you or love her or love them, love somebody differently than we love. We love everybody equally. But there's a special kind of love. That's that eros agape love you will have for your wife.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I'm sorry. But I get excited.
Amen. That's all right.
I truly do get excited.
Yes.
I get so excited because I love the Lord. You know, I do love him. And it took me, I was married to my husband for 35 years, and there were times when I tell you I wanted to take him to a cliff and drop him off, and he probably wanted to do the same thing to me. But the day the Lord saved me and I started saying to him, he says, do you love me? And I said, with all the love of God is in me. And that's what it had to be, the love of God. Because Rosa, that was a different story. But when God really, truly allowed that love to be manifested, I learned to love him, and he loved me. And I'm telling you, it's like the marriage took on new life. And it really did, because it took on the life of God.
Right.
See?
They say experience is the best teacher.
That's right. That
Amen.
Love of
and that's
God.
That's powerful. That is powerful.
That is strong. Except to God. And that's when everything changes.
It changes because it becomes alive and it's real and it's not empty words.
Amen. Well, Mother Rosa, Mother Bailey, thank you so much for just adding to today's broadcast and breaking down the three kinds of love, because we had not touched on that yet. We had not touched on filial, the friendship love, eros, the love between a man and a woman, and agape, which is God's unconditional love that we're supposed to have for all mankind. So thank you for filling in that particular gap, and also for ministering to our brother, you know, and even sharing your testimony about how God changed, the love of God changed your marriage and gave you a new marriage. You know, so I just thank God for that. Stay with us. Mother, I pray you're feeling well, recovering well.
Oh, yes,
well,
I'm feeling much better. Thank the Lord for the prayer from Pastor Larry and you and others. The Lord has blessed me, and I am feeling better.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to take another call. I want all of you just to stay with me. We have another call, another hand raised, and we're going to just take this call. We only have 35 more minutes, and I can't go over the day, so I want to just make sure I get everybody on the air. Area code 754, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, sister. To everyone that's here on the line, first of all, since we got to stop clashing like this, I'm going to have to program my show on Saturdays to be an hour earlier so that when we finish, we can come right over here. Forgive me for being late today, but we just finished the show. But, and talking ironically about love, I see that the Lord is really, you know, in the 70s, they used to have a song that says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And
yeah.
The Lord spoke to me a couple of days ago. He says, "What the church needs now is love, sweet love. We need to love each other." And I heard someone was saying that we have to minister. Everything we say and minister, she was talking about the noise. Paul said, if there's not love in it, you're just a sound and brass, a tinkling cymbal. And because the what you're saying is not, and that's what will grip the hearts of the people, the love out of the love of what, you know, they hear the love. They hear the love. People are not listening to the words you're saying, but they're hearing the love out of what you're saying, and that's where it's at. That's really where it's at. And I'm saying so because God is really ministering love back. I've been hearing it since the first of January. And just so many different people are coming up with the thoughts and how God is talking about love and what we need to, how we need to love. And just last week, quickly, just to touch on what the mother was just saying about the agape love for our spouses. I just not too long ago, ministered these words to my wife, which was, "I love you unconditionally." There's nothing that you can do that will stop me from loving you. That's how I'm loving her now. Because, you know, we break down, and as long as you're doing what I say do or be submitted to me, I love you. But when I have to submit to her, and when she's doing things that I'm not in agreement with, totally agreement with, I still have to love her. I have to love her, and love comes, the Bible says love covers a multitude of faults. And that's what we have to really come up to just let love cover everything. Make it cover it, spread a whole lot of love over everything that we do towards one another and into the body of Christ. God bless this wonderful program today.
Amen. God bless you, our pastor. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with that. Sharing that with us, that, wow, that's another aspect that we have to love each other in the church. And that's a problem that we're having in the church, where a lot of people are being turned away from the church because there is a lack of love. And, you know, we as the people of God, you know, in the pulpit and in the pew, really have to, you know, think twice about how we're treating people, and we need to line ourselves up with the Word of God and truly operate in love. You got people just getting saved. Mother Bailey, I know you could testify to this. You got people just getting saved. They come into the church, and before they come into the church because they know they need God, and they want God, and they want to change their lives. And they get in the church, and then the pastor or somebody in the pew, some of the people, are not that nice to them, acting like a fool.
It's usually the people in the pew.
That's right.
It's usually those people that God has had so much to forgive, and all of a sudden they've forgotten it. and they start, and some of them have come from the same place that that person is now coming from, and they immediately start to try to make the person what they are, and we can't do that because we're all individuals.
Amen.
We got to love them, I don't care, let them. God didn't tell us. When they walk in the door, we just got to, just like the man just said, cover them with so, the brother said, cover them with so much love until that's what they're going to want to stay because of the love of God, and then let God minister to them through your pastor or through whoever the Lord leads him to assign to work with that. But all of us can't minister to everybody.
Yeah.
And I was going to say one other thing, too. I don't have to like you, what you do, but I must love you. And we need to realize that we are all still on our way to becoming perfect, becoming like Jesus. So we're subject to error and make mistakes. And when we can recognize that, because when we first get saved and come into church, we think church people are supposed to be perfect. Listen, we are not perfect. The church is our preparation place. We are preparing to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be, and we have to be ready. That's why we have to be consciously always remember, Lord, forgive me. Immediately, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be what you want me to be, because we have to be ready when he comes. But we are in preparation. The same as the new person who comes in. Even though I've been walking with the Lord for a while, brother, you just came in and you could make it in before somebody who's been there for 50 years.
Amen.
Because we got to be ready. So when you come into the church, don't look around and say, oh, those people, they looking what they doing. They can't. Yes, they are saved. And they are in the right place because they have Pastor Rebecca and Pastor, her husband, there teaching them. And mothers there teaching them and helping them become what the Lord wants them to become. They're in the preparation room. If you leave the preparation room, then that's where your problems start.
Right.
As long as you stay in there, you have the opportunity to learn about God and to learn what his will is for your life. Don't leave. Remember when Christ told him to stay on the ship? Don't get off. I don't care how stormy, what goes on, stay in the ship. Stay in the church because that is your preparation room.
Right.
And then also, you'll know, and I'm going to let somebody else talk too, but I just want to say something about what Mother Rosa just said, Mother Bailey just said. Also, you'll know if you're in the right church. Brother Olive, Brother Williams talked about you'll know if you're in the right relationship. When you walk in the church, like you said, your focus has to be on the pulpit. What's coming forth from the man or woman of God that has been ordained to shepherd that place? And you will know in your heart of hearts if that is the place where God has for you the fellowship. And if the Lord calls you, if that pastor is speaking to you and that person is speaking to your soul, you know, and transforming your soul and nourishing your spirit, man, then don't let somebody in the pews run you out of the church. But you will know by what's coming out of the mouth of that man or woman of God up there at the pulpit, you will know if you're in the right place. I just wanted to add that.
Right. I experienced that just recently. It was the opposite. It was totally opposite. You know, I didn't get that treatment, but what I thought I should have got. You know, so that's why I left them out of there. I didn't want to be a part of that.
Here is, I think,
Pastor Amica
was trying to speak. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
May I just say, piggytail on what you're saying, if you go to a church and there is a person in that church, and if they have been there 6 months or longer, and they do not treat you in love, then that is showing you that there's no love in that church.
Wow.
As a pastor, if a person has been there, like I said, you've been there a year, 6 months, you've been listening and hearing, the anointing flows from the head down.
Thank
so
God.
If there's no love in the person in the pew, then there's no love on the person in the pew, person on the pulpit.
Praise
so,
the Lord.
So sometimes, okay, watch this. You clean your house. You clean your house. I mean, you really go and clean it. thoroughly. Okay. You cleared it because you're having guests over. And in the middle of your guests being there, a water bug or a roach crawls across the floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus.
You squat.
The house ain't clean, but there's more cleaning that needs to be done. And a lot of times, small foxes that spoil the vine. And it'll be just that one person. Everybody else is putting on, but it'll be that one person don't know the script. And so then you come in, and they didn't know the lines of the script, so they're going to be what they are. And that's what I'm saying. There's no love in that church. It's because if there's love, and you've been here 6 months or longer, everybody should know the heart of the pastor.
Praise God.
And we all fall into that. To that which the pastor is doing and what he's saying. And you become sheep. You become children. You take on the personality of your pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Mother Rosa, Mother Bella, you were getting ready to say something?
No, he said it. You just have to remember that the Lord has placed leaders in our churches, and that is the pastor. He is the one that has the first word and the last word. So if you have an issue, that is the person to take it to, because that person is imbued. They have God. Believe me, God has placed them there, and God is in them, and they are the ones to set the house in order, not the people, unless he has. She has specifically said, if you have an issue, go to Deacon so-and-so or go to Mother. Usually the women, they send to Mother so-and-so.
Yeah.
But if it's you come to me or you go to Deacon so-and-so, and then you do that. And then he takes it to the pastor and they decide how it should be handled or what. But that's, the thing is, God has put in them a love and a thirst for souls, and we are the ones to encourage and try to get people in, but they're the ones God has equipped with study, and they know things that the lay people don't necessarily know. We think we do. Sometimes we think we know more than the pastor, but God has imbued things into that pastor that he has not put into us. That's why they're pastors, and we are in whatever position he's placed us in. So God has revealed things to that pastor that he can tell you or she can say to you that another person can't.
Amen. You know,
the
Amen.
Lord loves
Christy.
Us, and he has order in his house. He has order, period, and he has order in his house.
Yes, and I just brought that up because I know that Brother Williams had gone to a church where he had a bad experience, and I thank God that he introduced me to him through my sister, because he's going to actually visit with us on tomorrow. But I thank God that he introduced us to us, because there was a whole bunch of stuff going on in that particular church, and that's why I said you will know, and the pastor was involved also, so you will know if a place is not right for you when you go. And don't judge every church by one church. And don't give up. Don't give up on looking for the right place. You might come tomorrow, and I doubt it, but you might say, you know what, this isn't it either. But keep looking for home, a place where you can go and be comfortable and say, you know what, I'm going to then be not so comfortable, be challenged in your walk. To do better, mm-hmm. to have better, and mm-hmm. why? Because brother, you're a good brother. I mean, you have a good heart. I picked it up. I discerned that when you were here. You have a good heart, and I know that there are so many blessings in store for you. So just keep looking until you find that right place. And I know the Creation Christian Ministries is the right place. So
praise the Lord.
You were going to say something.
Choosing a church, Pastor Rebecca, is like going into a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a temporary thing.
No.
And that's the mindset of a lot of people. I'm going to get married to this person, and if it don't work 3 months later, we're just going to end it and everything. And that's not the way that you're supposed to go into that. Mm-hmm. If it don't work, I'm just going to leave. The mother just told us that she was married to her husband for 35 years. They've had challenges. They've been challenging. And even so, when you choose in the church, you're going to understand that, yes, people are not perfect in this church, but, and yet we're going to have challenges. I'm going to be challenged in my stand to commitment to this church, and the church is going to be challenged on their stand to the commitment to me. So there's going to be challenges on both, but she just said the key word. When you look for a church, look for the church that is going to challenge you to do better.
That's right.
That's what we need to look for. This place is going to challenge me. They don't twice this.
And make sure there's love in that church.
Right.
And I would say, I know sometimes we get caught up in the what the person in the pew made to the newcomer. And we can't, while we don't have the authority to change what another person does, what we do know is from the top down, from the leadership, is the leadership calling for a higher standard in the ministry that are involved the people in the pew. Because, you know, if the Pastor Amica said, if the head is not expressing love, there's no way that you can get it from the congregation. And that has to come, we hear God speaking so loud and clear because of, if we look at the turmoil in the world that has been growing and festering, he said enough is enough. This is what I care about, love. I don't care about money. I don't care about what you want on your own personal. And the word says in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, love is not self-seeking. I want you standing before the people in my name seeking your own stuff. Seeking to be elevated just for the sake of, oh, now I'm a bishop. No. This is what I'm calling for. I'm calling for love, and I hold you responsible at the top because it's your first ministry ought to be to love the people, regardless of what you think. You know, what you think your ministry is, well, some people do have other ministries to minister to those who have other issues, but that first ministry is love. And it's not going to be effective. That's why we see so many churches falling apart. Because that's the key component. To love the people. Love the people. Jesus loved the people. He said, well, loving kindness have I drawn thee. Loving kindness have I drawn thee. When people came to him or he approached others, he showed an act of kindness and love. And I met the need that you had. Because he understood that, all right, if you're hungry, you're not going to hear me. So here, you take this food, and then we can talk. We can talk about it. But you can't expect the person to walk in and immediately get it because you showed up. Oh, praise the Lord, you're here now. God has changed this and changed that. But did you talk to me and find out what brought me here? Why am I here? Why did God leave me here? I'm here because I have a need, and I need someone to address that need. So we got to start checking our deacon ministries. You got to start checking your deaconess ministry. You got to check your ushers. You got to check for that aspect of love for the people.
Praise God.
And if they don't have it, even if you only end up with two deacons, so what? Those two deacons are the ones that carry the spirit of love.
Yes. Oh, my God. Listen, I have to make this point. Pastor Larry is in the chat room, and Pastor Larry was saying that that's not right. When the one sheep went away, and he talks about going after the one sheep, that one sheep did not reflect the heart of the shepherd. Not reflect the shepherd who was Jesus. And
praise the Lord.
We really have to look at that now that I think about it in a different perspective, that the heart of the shepherd is not necessarily always reflected in the pews. Because you can have somebody in the pews and they've been there, Pastor Amica, respectfully, sir, they have been in that pew for 15 years, and the pastor can be somebody that loves. But you just have some person who's there out of religiosity,
That's right.
But they're not necessarily being transformed by the word of God. They're not committed to the ministry. They
you
come when they want to, but they don't come on a regular basis. Like somebody that's there 6 months, they can come, but they could come intermittently. They're not coming on a regular basis. And when they're coming, they might not even be tuned into what's going on in the pulpit area. And now I have to say I agree with you both, but I have to even say that I do agree with Pastor Larry, because the fact of the matter is I know a lot of church folk. I know a lot of people who
there
have been
go.
In church for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor, I would say, is a pastor who's a good person. But I'm not seeing the love. I'm not seeing the love in the pews. I dreamed about a church last night, and it's amazing we're having this conversation where I went to this church, and when I walked in the door, nobody said anything to me, and I went and sat down, and no one said anything, and there was no love in that place. So think about the people of God, how the Israelites, the church, the called out ones, how many times God had to send the prophets to go and tell those people you're wrong, you're serving other gods, you're out of order, you know, you're disobedient, you're stiff-necked, you're
mm-hmm.
rebellious people, and those people continue on that way. But again, at that time, the shepherds, the pastors, God said, I raised the pastors after my own heart. They had good shepherds, but they were disobedient still. So, does that necessarily reflect upon the shepherd, the fact that the people are stiff-necked, rebellious, disobedient, not loving?
No.
It kind of sounds like a
Pastor Amica.
Mm-hmm.
You said the key word there. They have been coming to the church but not have been receiving not only the spirit of the pastor but the spirit of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the blockage is.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the way 25 years. You've been in the way. You have not been in the house of God. You have not been receiving the word, the heart of the pastor. You have
mm-hmm.
not. You've been coming to that church. There is something in that church that, and then, you know, too, we have to not just say church, but really the house of God. When
mm-hmm.
when the word of God is being really preached, then that spirit of whatever is coming out is going to go out above the people, over
mm-hmm.
the people. And that's what they're going to receive. That's what they're going
that's
to receive. So, okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. You go. It's raining. It's raining outside. Can you go outside and not get wet if it's raining?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get wet because it's coming
yeah.
down. So if it's not coming down, then, you know, then that person, like I tell people, like the Lord gave me this example. He said, if you get in the shower, you know, you prepare yourself to take a shower, and you step in the shower, and you stand in there 5 minutes, are you clean? No.
I don't know. Did you use soap?
Why are you not clean? Why? Because you didn't turn the water off. You just stood up
oh,
in the shower.
Oh, okay.
You standing in your cars don't make you a car. So there are things that people that are going to church and not getting wet, not getting the word, but they go into church and they tune off, turn off when the word
right.
comes forth. Choir, the music is fine. Oh, they're shouting and running and everything. But when it's time for the word, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You go out to the bathroom. Or you standing there daydreaming, doodling on your paper, you reading your Bible, you sitting there having Bible study when the word is coming forth. So you're
that's
not
right.
getting you're not
Christian.
Getting what's being put out. So then, you know, like you said, Pastor said, I agree, yes. There's people that's coming to church. There's a lot of people that's coming to church, but is everybody being fed?
Right.
Is everybody receiving the anointing of that house? No.
Yes.
So that's the person, that's the sore thumb that's going to stick out. Well, so then, like Pastor Rebecca
that's
said,
good.
Don't judge the whole church because of that one sore thumb. You have
mm-hmm.
to understand. Well, see, that's just okay, my last example. People went to visit the church. They went to visit the church, and they walked in, and this young lady was sitting on the back row. And she looked back to see who was coming in. And as the two young ladies were walking down the aisle, the girl said, "Girl, did you see the way that woman looked at me?" She said, "Yeah." And man, so the whole service, they sitting there talking about how that woman on the back row looked at them. So when the service was over, they went to the usher and said, "Sis, you know, the church is nice and everything. We enjoyed the service. But I just can't quite get over how that young lady looked at me when we came in." The usher said, "That young lady is cockeyed. She looked at everybody that way."
Yeah.
We have a hand raised. Wait a minute. We only have 9 minutes. We have a hand raised. Okay. I need to get this caller on the air before we go off the air. Erico 773, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hey, God bless you, Pastor. Pastor Larry.
God bless you, Pastor Larry.
How are you? Listen, I have been enjoying the conversation so far, but one of the things I did want to raise, since we're talking about love and especially loving in the church, we have to understand one thing for certain, that sometimes the devil sends people to our ministries, mm-hmm. and their assignment is to bring conflict in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
When we look at Jesus, who was the master of love, he had Judas,
mm-hmm.
who was the master of betrayal. Now,
yeah.
watch this. He also had Peter, who was a liar and a cusser. He also had Thomas, who was a doubter.
Yes.
And so we have to understand that everybody in the church, number one, is not going to have the heart of a leader. This is why God said this. He said, "Know them that labor among you." And when you understand the people that are laboring among you, you know that, listen, the truth is, the Bible says, "Let the wheat and the tares grow together." And so when those who are in the pew are not loving like the pastor, it is not necessarily that they're reflecting the heart of the pastor.
No.
Like I believe what Pastor Amica said earlier, that sometimes folks come and they're not listening, their mind is someplace else. And the truth is, they came out of a religious spirit, you know, almost remind me of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
They came just to pick at Jesus and to see if they could catch him up in a lie coming against the Mosaic law. They didn't come to hear the word. They came just for that purpose, to bring disruption and to bring disharmony in the church. And so in every church, you're going to have that. Here's our job. And I hope I can say it the way I say it here in Chicago, that when you love somebody, sometime, Pastor, you got to learn to love the hell out them folks.
Amen.
As simple as that. You got to learn to love them and love all that hell out of them. Because the truth is, the Bible just says that love covers a multitude of faults. And sometimes people are not going to change until they really know how much you love them.
Amen.
And so we have to be willing to show them love and extend them love. Watch this now. Willing to love them even when you know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to it, because now that's the true test of loving somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I love you, I can know what you're doing and still love you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be, especially for this end-time church, it is going to be our true test of love. Because now we can't refute what Jesus said. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another.
Right.
And he didn't mean it was not based on the ones who are sitting in the pew doing the right thing. Here's a test of Christians. Can you love me and know my life is jacked up? And that's going to be
praise
the true
God.
Test of this end-time love relationship. Can you love a person and knowing their life is jacked up? Can you love them back into the right position? Because now, and I know you got 5 minutes. Look what Jesus did. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he sent for his disciples, but then he said, "And go get Peter."
That's
he good. Made sure that Peter was there. He wanted Peter to know that I don't hold this against you. I know what
go
you
ahead.
Did. And I'm going to love you back to right standings. And watch this. Listen, Jesus, when Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 souls got saved because Jesus dared to love Peter back into that relationship. My point is this. When the church learns to love like Christ, we can love folk back into a right relationship, and you never know how many folks can come into the kingdom if we don't love these folks back into their right place where God wants them to be. And so we have to learn to love them in spite of them.
Amen. I believe that's where God would have us to be in the church today. Pastor Lottie, loving them back into the arms of God. He's using us with his arms and his legs and his mouthpiece. Loving folks back to him. We have to do it. He's calling us to that now, which is why this topic is so, it relates so deep within each and every one of us who are even speaking and listening.
Yes. I like love you. My daughter had a way of saying, most people say, I love you to death, and it means until you die. But my daughter, the one passed, said to me, Mom, I love you to life. She had accepted Christ. And we have to, I think that's what Pastor Larry is saying, we have to love people to life. Love them so much that they want to accept Jesus Christ and receive that eternal life. We have to love them to life.
That's right.
That's
good. That's right. Because if we don't, I'll tell you something, if the church is a reflection of who Jesus is, we have to learn to love everybody. It can't be based on their gender, based on what they wear, based on their economic status. We have to be willing to love everybody. Listen, Jesus, who owned it all, did not pick and choose who he loved. There was not a person that Jesus could not love. Watch this now. Even when he knew Judas was coming to turn him over to the soldiers, the Bible says, Jesus called him friend. He called him friend. Jesus could have turned Judas over in the upper room, and Peter would have cut his throat. He would have. Peter would have killed him. But Jesus told him, you know what? Judas, you get out of here. What you must do, do it quickly. Because Jesus wanted to allow Judas to push him to his destiny. And I promise you, if we learn to love folk, we can push them to their destiny if we just love them. You know, none of us are perfect, because the truth is, when we finally get one thing right, God will reveal to us another area in our life where we need improving on.
Right.
Amen.
As long as we live, we will always be improving. The Bible says to walk there perfect, to be thou perfect. In other words, be mature. So as much as you know, walk in what you know. And what you don't know, the Bible says God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then God is able to allow his grace to abound in your weak area and help bring you out of that weak area and make you stronger in that area. But I promise you, tomorrow he will show you another part of yourself that's not right to help you become more like him.
Yes.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I believe the Lord has spoken today in this last 2 minutes. I tell you, I just wish I had more time, but time is up for today, and we're going to have to continue this. We will be back on the air next Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pastor Larry, I thank you for calling in. Pastor Amica, Mother Bailey,
praise
Brother Wims, Chrissy, Rashida, Gazelle, all of our guests who are listening, I just thank you all for being with me on today. You have really charged me today. You all have charged me to even go forward remembering love in the forefront of my mind. So often we get caught up or how to preach a sermon or what text to come from or the logistics of running the church. But God wants us to remember the most important gift of all, and that gift is love. So I thank God for you all. And I just praise God. I pray that you have been blessed. That everybody that has tuned in has been blessed.
Amen.
We'll be back next week. And I just thank God for you. So I'm going to be tuning out again. I will be in Linden today. I'll be at a book club in Linden. And really excited about the fact that they have been buying up my books like crazy. I'm just so blessed.
Amen.
You know, I said, Lord is doing that. They read nobody's business, and they sold them they were selling by the case. I have 39 books in a case, and the woman sold a case of books for the week. And now she's asking for a case of the cry of a woman's heart. So I just thank God for blessing me, you know, even as I strive to be obedient to him. So
thank
I encourage
God.
You all to just be obedient and do what God called you to do, and the Lord will continually bless you in all that you do. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. God bless you all. I'm signing out right here on Woman to Woman. Join me next week right here on Woman to Woman. God bless you. Amen.
God bless.
Praise God.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
You're listening to The Sound.